Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Rabbi Jack Moline. The book title is direct, Asylum, A Memoir and Manifesto. Both parts are compelling. The dangerous and soul-crushing journey through homophobic circles in Nigeria, as well as the clear-eyed but ultimately hope-filled appreciation for America and its continued promise that the author, Adafi Oporo, brings to his story. Ordained in Africa, Adafi Oporo brings a rare personal familiarity with the ways religion is being misused to advance Western interests there while marginalizing LGBT persons and their very lives. Adafi, congratulations on this powerful book, and thank you for making time to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. I look forward to this conversation.
Let me start with the impossible question, because you wrote a whole book, briefly, and that's what makes it impossible. Could you say where you started and where you've ended up as described in the memoir part of this new book?
Yeah, I grew up in Warri, Nigeria, which is the south of Nigeria. I grew up in the Delta by the Atlantic Ocean. I was the last in a family of four. I was the first in my family to have a college education. While I was in college, I used to be a pastor of a church. I left the church because of homophobia, and I became an activist, providing access to treatment for LGBTQ identified people in Nigeria, which put my life in danger, and I had to flee. I came to the US seeking asylum at JFK, and I was incarcerated as an asylum seeker. I stayed in a detention center for 6 months. I was granted asylum, and I was allowed to stay in America as a refugee. And now I work with refugees across the country, providing access to technology that will help them rebuild their lives in a new country. As a brief short stop.
That's pretty brief, but that's sort of like saying the story of America is we fought a war and now we have a country. So let's fill in one spot in the middle. Would you talk about the life-changing night when you were 26? I think it's impossible for most of us to imagine what happened, yet it wasn't even unusual in that time and place.
Yeah, so in Nigeria, there are seven states that practice Sharia law. And in Sharia law, you could be stoned to death for being a gay-identified person. In my community where I live in Abuja, I was working with gay men who were HIV positive and were not having access to quote-unquote treatment, so which was increasing the death mortality rates of gay-identified men. And while I was doing this work, I won an award for my work as a public health activist. The night of my birthday, I was woken up with banging on my door. People were screaming that he's gay. We have found out and we're going to kill him. You know, I ran to the back of my apartment, which is like a one bedroom. I wanted to jump out from the window. The other side, there were a lot of people there too. And they broke my door. I was just having my pants on. They dragged me onto the streets. And they were like beating me up with sticks and woods. And children were singing behind me, he's gay. I found out and we're going to kill him. It was just like celebrating my 26th birthday, the night before, and waking up in the morning to this mob attack. And I blacked out during that attack. And when I woke up, I found myself in a clinic and then I had to flee. This is like a brief explanation because if I go deep in, it kind of affects me later on. So I tried to like make it as brief as possible.
Sure. Wow, that's quite a story. Adafi, you were ordained in Africa and were able to see up close some of the connections between religion and there in particular homophobic religion and foreign interests. What do we need to know about these connections between domestic religious practice in Nigeria and the influence of foreign groups that have come into the country?
So just to set the situation, I joined the church when I was younger because my grandmother, she attended Pentecostal church, and she used to say all the time that she would tell her parents that Idafe is going to become a pastor. I wanted to become a pastor because I felt like it's the most noble thing to do in my community. But when I was a teenager, I started having feelings for other men, and it was difficult for me to be openly gay and be a pastor. And I decided to join the church then with the intention of like hiding my sexual orientation. Because if I was a pastor, people wouldn't ask me, where's your girlfriend? When are you getting married? Or such kind of questions. But while I was a pastor, I met another person that was a priest of a Catholic church, and he was hiding his sexuality. He was a little bit older than me. Then I saw what my future would be if I continue hiding my sexual orientation. So that was why I came out as gay. But after coming out, I was excommunicated from the church because the church in Nigeria do not want anything to do with gay identified persons. And these have a deep root to Nigerians trying to distinct themselves from the West, because Western evangelicals who come to Africa kind of teach a message that the West have already lost the battle with like the sanctity of humanity, and Africans, especially West Africans, have to protect themselves from such kind of demonic polarization, which is like homosexuality being accepted in the West. When I grew up Anglican, when the church in UK wedded the first two gay couple, the church, the Anglican Church of Nigeria, broke out from the Anglican Church in UK because they want to distinct themselves from that identity. In 2012, when Obama came to Africa, they didn't allow him to come to Nigeria because they felt like he was propagating this Western philosophy of like homosexuality on the continent of Africa. That led to the first bill in Uganda that was called the Kill the Gay Bills. And the Kill the Gay Bills was funded by Western evangelicals who wanted Ugandans to show that they are strong in their faith. And from that legislation led to the Nigerian government passing the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act, which criminalizes same-sex relation by 14 years imprisonment. So Africans are trying to distinct themselves from the West because Western evangelicals spend a lot of money, they call it dark money, trying to promote an ideal African continent that's clean from this Western homosexuality propaganda.
We need to take another break, but I'll talk more with Idafe Oporo in just a minute. And later, Ross Keyes of Interfaith Alliance of North Dakota. If you miss any part of today's program, you can hear full episodes of State of Belief anytime on our website. You'll also find links to the topics we discussed this week, extended interviews and transcripts, and an archive of past shows, all at stateofbelief.com. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, religion and radio done differently.